And then a few weeks ago, or quite a few weeks ago, I was, you may recall doing a series of teaching in the church here, on the title of which was The Reality of Redemption. We were looking at the what it meant to be redeemed, and we looked at certain other things. So that the resurrection was foundational to that redemption. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in us, he'll give life to our mortal bodies. You know, and I went through a series of five lessons, and in those five lessons we saw that we sold ourselves into slavery through sin, that we've been bought with a price, and the price was the precious blood of Jesus. We saw that the ransom had been paid, and now we're no longer our own, but we're children of God. We're adopted into the family. We also saw that redemption was based on promises made, and that we have a blood covenant, or a covenant with God, and it's been ratified by Jesus' death and his shed blood. And the scripture we were using as our theme scripture was found in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, where it says this: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I didn't quite finish that series of teaching because we stopped for our mission month, and I never picked it up. And there were three more lessons I wanted to bring to wrap up this whole series. So I want to take one of those this morning. Just continuing on from that verse there, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We see in the scriptures that, and we'll look at the scriptures in a minute, but we see in the scriptures, and it was mentioned last time, that the curse of the law was a threefold curse. It included poverty, sickness, and death. Those are the three prongs, if you like, of the curse. Poverty, sickness, and death. And what I want to do is take each one of those in turn over the sort of 3 weeks that I, whenever I get the opportunity to speak. I want to look at that we're redeemed from the curse of poverty, we're redeemed from the curse of sickness, and redeemed from the curse of death. To wrap up this teaching that I began back in April on Easter Sunday. We also seen, and we've touched on in our series, just to remind us all and bring us up to date, that we've been redeemed from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And what we said was that the Gentiles in Christ Jesus includes every born-again child of God. If you belong to Christ, then the end of this chapter tells us that you're Abraham's seed and you're an heir according to the promise. You know, the seed of Abraham was Christ, the blessing was made to Christ and his seed, and we are that seed, the seed of Christ, the children of God, the seed of Abraham. Now, one important thing we saw with the blessing, I believe it was last time I spoke on this subject, was that the blessing of Abraham was and is a tangible material blessing. It does not include spiritual blessings. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that spiritual blessings come through Jesus Christ. That God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's where our spiritual blessings come from. Now the material blessings that we have come as part of it's the blessing of Abraham. It comes via Abraham's blessing. And one key thing with to do with the blessing, and we see it here in the scriptures, that the preface to any blessing from God is obedience. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2 tells us this, that if we obey the Lord, we heed the voice of his commandments, we obey him, we do what he tells us to do, that the blessing will come upon us and overtake us. The blessing. Now, what to deal with the first of those three prongs of the curse this morning by looking at redeemed from the curse of poverty. And if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 3, you've got your Bibles. The poverty is a curse. And Christ has redeemed us, we read in Galatians, from the curse of the law. And in order to find out what the law says, or what we've been redeemed from, we need to look at the law. And when you read the scriptures and you see that term, the law, it normally refers to what we call the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That is the law. Or the Mosaic law. That's what we call the law. We have the law, the prophets, and this is the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So I want to take one verse from Genesis, or a couple of verses from Genesis, and then a couple of verses from Deuteronomy, the first and the last books of the law, just to show us that poverty is under the curse. In Genesis chapter 3, reading from verse 17, 18 and 19. Adam and Eve have sinned and they've taken of the fruit which God had told them not to eat of. And now sin has entered, they've been disobedient, sin has entered the world. Eve had been deceived of the serpent. And God speaks to Adam. In verse 17, this is what it says. Then to Adam he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now in those three verses alone we see poverty, sickness, and death. And I'll just take a few minutes just to show you here in this reading. You know, Adam has sinned. He's taken of the fruit which God had commanded them not to eat. And now God is saying, says to him, says, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. The ground is cursed because of what you've done. That's what he said to Adam. Now, this word in the, this next word here in the verse says, in toil you shall eat of it. That word toil there, when translated in the Hebrew, is the same word that is from which we get sorrows and pains. Remember it says in Isaiah, surely he hath borne our sorrows, and borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, it's the same word. The word toil there is the same word as sorrow and pain. So in pain, you shall eat of it. And who knows, sometimes it's painful to go to work. When you're working the ground, it's painful. Bad back, bad legs. Bad head. We have to sit and listen to people at work. In toil, in pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles. Who knows, they give you pain. Thorns and thistles. It shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. So there, we see sickness and pain as a result of the curse. In verse 19 it says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. In the sweat of your face, talking about poverty, not having enough. You know, that perspiration that comes from trying to make ends meet, just trying to get by. That's effort involved there. You're just trying to get by till the end of the month so you can get another wage slip. And you know when your wages, when your wages run out, they run out the week after you get them. You get paid on one Friday, and by the next Friday it's all gone, and then you paid your bills for the month and settled your mortgage and you just got a little bit left and a little bit of food. You know, and then it starts, towards the end of the month, it starts getting drier and drier, and you're thinking, oh, I can't wait till Friday because we get another paycheck. Get some more money. You know, trying to get by, in the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. And then it talks about the end of the verse, it says, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. There, it's talking about death. You know, poverty is a curse. It came as a result of Adam's sin. In Deuteronomy 28, we see exactly the same. The same thing. You see poverty, sickness, and death throughout the chapter. Starting to read at verse 15 to 20. It shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, in which you have forsaken me. There, those five verses, talking about poverty, not having enough. You know, you haven't got enough in your basket, you haven't got enough in your bowl. You haven't got enough in the, when you're in the city or in the country. The fruit of your land, your body is cursed, the fruit and the produce of the land is not having enough to eat. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion and rebuke in all that you set. Everything you turn your hand to is cursed. That's poverty. Not having enough. In verses 38, it says this, you shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locusts shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, and they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. You see where we're going. This is poverty. Not having enough. Not having produce to eat. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. Now we're talking about debt. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. So there in those verses we see that poverty is listed under the curse. So if that's under the curse, then under the blessing, because that's what Jesus came to bring us. He came to redeem us so that we're redeemed from the curse so that the blessing could come. So under the blessing, if poverty is under the curse, then the blessing must be prosperity. Must be the opposite. And nowhere in the scripture does it say, as a lot of people teach, that poverty glorifies God. Well, if I haven't got enough, it keeps me humble. Rubbish. You haven't got enough. It doesn't keep you humble. It causes you to worry. It causes you to do other things. And God says, don't do it. Poverty does not glorify God. You know, God promised Abraham, and this, we're looking at the blessing of Abraham, so that the blessing of Abraham can come. God promised Abraham that he would prosper him. And that's from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. This is God speaking. He says, I am going to bless you, Abraham. He says, I'm going to make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, that word bless means to be empowered or enabled to prosper, anointed to succeed. And God says, I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to empower you to prosper. I'm going to anoint you for success. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. The Amplified says this, with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished. And then it says, you will be a blessing. Oh, that's a good word there. You will be a blessing. Now again, if you look at that in the Hebrew, that word blessing there literally means, well, that what God is saying is, you shall be prosperous. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be prosperous. And that's what he said to Abraham. You know, the blessing of Abraham is an empowerment. Not just for prosperity in material things, but a total life prosperity. You know, blessed in every area of your life. You're blessed in relationships, blessed in your family. You know, blessed in any work that you do. Blessed in your ability to think. You know, God, the blessing encompasses the whole man, the whole being. Total life prosperity. It promotes and honors and elevates. We haven't got time, we have looked at this in previous lessons, but we haven't got time to go through all the scriptures where it shows that the blessing promoted people like Joseph to the place of premiership. He was prime minister of the land of Egypt. You know, the blessing honored men and women in the scriptures. The blessing elevated their status. The blessing gave people like Joshua possession of the land and ownership. The blessing was upon God's people, gave them power and dominion and authority. You know, the Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 10 and verse 22. It says that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. You know, we don't like using those words in church. We don't like using the word rich. Because we think rich, we think, well, we say the blessing makes us rich, and we sort of maybe look in a bank account and think, well, I'm not very rich in there, and might shake the piggy bank and think, well, that's not very full either. But the blessing makes one rich, it says. Rich materially, yes. Rich in health, yes. rich in life? Yes. Rich in every area? Yes. But then it says something else. It says he has no sorrow with it. There's that word sorrow again. There's no toiling, no laboring for it. The blessing makes one rich. Did you know, you might not have thought of this, that it was never ever God's intention for any of us to have to work to pay our bills, to meet our needs.
Amen.
That was never God's intention for us. There was the only thing in the Garden of Eden, when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, all he told him to do was to guard, or to tend, to dress the garden, and to guard it, keep it, protect it, protect the blessing, because it was the blessing that would work for him. It was God's blessing upon him that would sustain him, that would supply all his requirements. And as soon as he sinned, God sent him out of the garden, and then he had to start working. He had to start trying to earn his way. And he wasn't allowed to get back into the blessing because God put an angel there to guard the entrance back into the garden. But the blessing makes one rich, and there's no toiling, there's no labour, there's no pain with it. And that's the message that Jesus came preaching. And if you look in the scriptures, I think Brother Anthony touched on it when he came a few weeks back. Jesus came preaching that God wants us to have and enjoy life. Abundant life. Life to the full. In fact, Jesus' messages, he came preaching that God's kingdom was at hand. God's kingdom was nearby. God's kingdom was within reach. And part of that kingdom message was that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach good news to the poor. Or he came preaching, if I could put it this way, preaching that God's blessing was upon them to deliver them from poverty. We read that in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. In actual fact, Jesus ended that quotation from Isaiah by saying that the year of Jubilee was upon them. And the year of Jubilee was a time of prosperity and debt cancellation. And that's the message Jesus came preaching. That they needed to repent and repent of their sins and believe the gospel, the good news, that God's kingdom was now available to them. And God's kingdom is now available to you and me. You know, that blessing redeems us from poverty. Christ has redeemed us from poverty. If you look through the scriptures, look at Abraham, to start with. God brought Abraham up out of Egypt. Read that in Genesis 13, verses 1 and 2. He came up out of Egypt. And it says in Genesis 13, that when he came out of Egypt, let me get it so I get it right. He came up out of Egypt. Abraham went up from Egypt. He came up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram, was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. God brought him out of Egypt very rich. Abraham was blessed in all things all his life. In Genesis 24, verse 1, it says that. It says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Just read a couple of other verses in that chapter, verses 34 and 35. Abraham sends his servant to go and find a wife for his son Isaac. And the servant goes on that mission, and he sees Rebekah. And he goes back to Rebekah's house to meet the family, because God says this is the person. And he says of Abraham, this is this testimony of Abraham. He says, so he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly. He has become great. He has given him flocks. Not one flock of sheep. Flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. You know, God blessed this man greatly. We see the blessing is the same upon his son Isaac. In chapter 26, talking about Isaac, it says, the Lord blessed him, verse 12, 100-fold in the same year. He sowed his sowed seed in the land in the time of famine, and he reaped in the year, same year, 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper, and continued to prosper, until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks, and possessions of herds, and great number of servants, and the Philistines envied him. When God brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, the Bible tells us in Exodus 12, they came out rich. Silver and gold. And cloth. In actual fact, I want just to show you how rich God's people were. You know, God brought them out very rich, and he took them into the desert. You know what it's like in the desert? There's no shopping centres. they've got all this wealth coming out, and they've got nowhere to spend it. You know, that would just irritate some people, wouldn't it? Particularly my daughter Debbie. All this money and nowhere to spend it. But just turn with me to chapter 36, Exodus 36. So I want to show you something here. God put it in the heart of Moses to build him a tabernacle. Now we studied the tabernacle a few weeks ago in our Tuesday night studies. And God put that on the heart of Moses that he was going to build him or prepare him a place for God to dwell. A tabernacle in the wilderness. And so the instruction was that everybody were to bring an offering. They've got all this money, nothing to spend it on, and now God calls for an offering. It says, and they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the making of the sanctuary. And they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work, much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment. And they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing. For the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed too much. Where did they get all that money from? That was too much to do the work of building the church, if you like, for want of a better word. They got it from Egypt. God brought them out very rich. And we've been redeemed from poverty. Christ became poverty, the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Christ became poverty, became poor, so that we could become rich. That's redemption. Christ became poor, so we can become rich. That's what we remembered this morning. That Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price. Christ was, we can accept this quite easily, that Christ was made sin so that we could become righteous. We've got no problems believing that. A few people have a few problems with believing that Christ was made sickness so that we could be healed. But it's still called that that's still the same, that's still true. And Christ became poor so that we could become rich. And we're not talking spiritually rich. Talking materially rich. God wants us to prosper and become rich. The Bible says, I'll give you that verse, that's 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And then the apostle John writes to the church, and we've got to take this, it's God's word to us. It's not just what the apostle was writing to the church at the time. This is God speaking to us, and he says, "Beloved, I desire, or I pray, and I wish that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Well, actually, it goes on and says that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And that was the desire, God's desire for us. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be rich. And there's a purpose for it, which I will get on to before I finish this morning. But I just want to give you a few scriptures that show us that God wants us prosperous. If you go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 112. "Praise the Lord," it says. "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." When you read that word, "blessed is the man," what do you think? Do you think of, oh, a little goosebumpy experience that you get? Blessed, empowered to prosper is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He guides his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His form will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. There that whole psalm talking about, you know, the righteous being blessed, being prospered. You know, he's got wealth and riches in his house. You know, he guides his affairs with discretion. You know, when evil tidings, when bad news comes, you know, when the economy falls, when the share prices collapse, he will not be afraid of evil tidings because his heart is steadfast. He's trusting in the Lord. His trust is not in the economy. His trust is not in what's happening at work. But his trust is in the Lord. And his heart is established. And he will not be afraid. You know, the prosperous man doesn't have to worry when the economy falls. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, I've got a couple more scriptures now, won't keep it too long. The book of Isaiah 48, it says this. This is verse 17. "Thus says the Lord," about the reality of redemption, that Christ has redeemed us. "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace," or "then your prosperity," in other words, the peace there, "would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." You know, God says, he says, "I teach you to profit. I'm your Redeemer, and I'm going to teach you how to make money. I'm going to teach you how to get wealth. I'm going to teach you how you can be successful." So then your peace, or your prosperity, your blessing would have been like a river that flows. Like the waves of the sea. You know what happens at the waves of the sea? We was at the sea at the weekend. You know, just to watch the waves coming in. They don't stop coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. And that's how the blessing's meant to be for us, working for us. Keep coming. Why did Jesus redeem us from poverty? Why did he want us rich and prosperous? So that we can be a blessing to others. That's the whole purpose of prosperity. Scripture says this in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Then Paul quotes that Psalm 112 where it says that he's dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. You know, God wants you to be blessed and prospered so that you can fulfill his purpose. Prosperity has a purpose. And we've got to understand the purpose of prosperity. Because if we don't understand the purpose of it, then we get caught up. Well, why does God want you to have all that money? Prosperity's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with God's purpose in the earth. It's not so that you can feather your own nest and say, well, I've made it now. I've got enough. That's the mistake the man in the parable made. He says, look, I've made my money now. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build big barns to keep all my wealth in. And then I'm going to rest and take it easy. And God said, you fool. That's not the purpose for prosperity. But God has no problem with us being comfortable. The true purpose of prosperity is this, that we fulfill the job that God has given us to do. You know, there's a world out there that needs to hear the gospel. You know, we're fast running into the rapture. We're fast running to the time when there will be no more opportunity for salvation. You know, and this world needs to hear the gospel, and it's going to take a whole heap of money to reach it. If we're going to go to the world, it takes money. It takes money to publish any literature, any leaflets. It takes money to hold services. To hire out, get big marquees to reach the masses, it takes money. To go on television or radio, it takes money. To build a church, it takes money. And that's why God wants us rich. So that we can use that money, that wealth, to reach the world. Don't push it up onto others. Don't say, well, I'm alright, I'm okay, I've got enough to get by. God tells you to go. God tells me to go. God tells us all, but I'm not called to do that work. The Bible tells us to go into all the world, every single one of us, and preach the gospel. Now, it might not mean we have to go overseas. But God still tells us to go. And there's only two reasons stopping anybody from going. One, they don't want to go. And if they don't want to go, then that's disobedience. Willful disobedience. Or two, they cannot afford to go. But I haven't got time to go. You know, I've got responsibilities. I've got a job. Exactly. That's why God wants you prosperous. So you haven't got to work. So you give your time to serving Him. Would you like to be able to stop working for your living? And start working to bring life. That's why God wants you blessed. That's why God wants you to prosper. That's why God has put this, He's redeemed us from poverty. Because while we have never got enough, we've always got to try and get it in some way to meet our needs. See, prosperity isn't really a money issue. It's not really a message about money. It's not a message about wealth. It's a message about obedience. If people have the time and the money to do what God wants them to do, then the only thing stopping them is disobedience. Think about it. That's why God wants us to, that's why He paid the price, so we can be free of poverty. Because whatever we're in poverty, we're held in a trap by the devil. But God wants us out of that. Because when we're out of poverty, when we don't owe no man anything, we haven't got to work to pay the mortgage, we haven't got to work to eat, then we're free to do what God wants us to do. And go wherever God wants us to go. And God can speak to you this afternoon and tell you that I want you to be on a plane. You can be on a plane by tea time. On your way to China or India or somewhere else to minister to the needs of those that he's... But you can't do that. You say, well, I've got to go work tomorrow morning. I can't be in China tonight because I've got to be at the desk in the morning. I've got to be at the factory bench. I've got to be in the... You're not available to God while we're in debt, while we're in poverty. That's why God wants us to prosper. That's why he paid the price to redeem us. And that's the reality of our redemption. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of poverty. All we've got to do is just receive what God has done for us. Now, we've got to be obedient. We've got to do what God tells us to. Abraham had to be obedient and go and do what God has told him to do. And there are certain things the Bible tells us to do which we've got to satisfy. We've got to believe. We've got to hear God's word. We've got to put our faith in it. We've got to do what he says. We've got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. For Christ has redeemed us. When we got saved, Christ redeemed us from the curse of sin. We believe that. And all we did, we heard the gospel message. We believed in our hearts. We received Jesus in our lives. And we were forgiven. Set free. Now we've got to do the same with sickness. We've got to do the same with prosperity. We've got to hear the word, we've got to believe it, and we've got to start acting on what God says and receive what he has in store for us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, you and me, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Not the promise of the Holy Ghost, but what the Spirit has promised to give us. We might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Let's pray this morning. Just commit this time to the Lord. Father, we just ask you, Lord, to... Lord, write your word in our hearts this morning. Lord, minister to us today. Lord, as we hear, Lord, this word, Lord, that you've redeemed us from the curse of the law. Lord, we've seen, Lord, this morning, Lord, that poverty is under the curse. Lord, and you want us to free us from that curse. Lord, deliver us from poverty. Deliver us, Lord, from, Lord, the trap, Lord, that, Lord, it keeps us in. Lord, so that we can fulfill your purpose. Lord, so that you can establish your covenant in the earth. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, to just continue to write that word, Lord, to water that word, Lord, in our hearts today. Lord, that we will receive, Lord, what? Lord, you're telling us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you so much want to bless us. Lord, you want to bless us more, Lord, than what we want to be blessed. Lord, you want to get, Lord, so much to us, Lord. Lord, not so that we can wear a badge, Lord, to say that we've achieved something or we've accomplished something, or Lord, that we've made it, but Lord, so that, Lord, we have sufficient. Lord, yes, to meet our own needs. Lord, so that we don't owe any man anything. Lord, save to love him. But Lord, so we've got an abundance, Lord, for every good work. Lord, an abundance for the gospel. An abundance, Lord, to, Lord, bring others, Lord, to yourself. Father, that's the whole purpose of redemption's plan, Lord, is to get people, Lord, to you. Lord, to bring as many... Part of your plan, Lord, in the earth, in these days. So, Father, in faith this morning, we rise to the challenge, Lord, to believe you. Lord, for prosperity, for blessing. Lord, so we can get this job done. In Jesus' name. Amen.